But for tonight, we're talking about end time previews. What's going to happen on God's prophetic calendar? Now, I want to briefly review just a moment to make sure that we're all up to speed and that you understand where we've been so far. And I want to do it this way tonight. This might help you. I want us to do it by chapter to up to where we are so that you can get a grasp of the whole book. Because what I'm interested in for you to learn is the whole book of Revelation. Not get bogged down in one part, but to look at the whole of Revelation, look at an outline of the book of Revelation, and then fill in the pieces. Chapter 1 is a chapter where John, the Revelator, we call him, who dictated, who wrote the book of Revelation, who's on the Isle of Patmos, he sees a vision of the glorified Christ. That's all chapter 1 is about. He encounters the Lord in all his glory. Then chapters 2 and 3, we find and encounter seven churches. They were seven literal churches in Asia Minor in that day. But we also believe there are seven church ages that throughout our history, these church ages have come into play. That's chapters 2 and 3. And then chapter 4, the major part that we've been talking about as we embarked upon this series, is the rapture of the church. The word rapture means to be caught up, to be grasped, to be pulled out is what the word means. So we talked about the rapture of the church, and basically I only want you to remember two things. When the rapture happens, what will happen is that the Lord Jesus will come from the Father's right hand. He will come in the clouds. Okay, there will be a shout. There will be the voice of an archangel. There will be a trumpet sound. And what will happen then? The church, and we mean by the church, all of those who are saved that make up the true church across the world will be caught up. We will be raptured in the air to meet the Lord. So we talked about what that means. And all I want you to understand and want you to remember, when that happens, when that rapture happens, when the Lord is in the sky and we go to meet Him, first of all, the dead in Christ will rise first. That's those in the graves. They will hear that shout, the voice of the archangel. They'll hear the trumpet of God, and all the graves across the world will be open if they were believers. And then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with the Lord. Some of us, maybe us here in this room, maybe this generation, will be alive, not have to taste physical death. We might be alive, and we go to meet the Lord in the air. Now, the rapture, I believe, takes place before the tribulation that we're going to be talking about this evening. We talked about pre-trib, mid-trib, and post-trib. I believe in a pre-trib, that the church will be raptured before the tribulation. The rapture takes place in Revelation chapter 4. The tribulation that we began last week and talk about this evening in the next many weeks doesn't begin until chapter 6, and it goes all the way through chapter 18. Now, we said, why do I believe that? Well, first of all, from chapter 4 on, you hear no more about the church. The church is missing on the earth because now it's in heaven with the Lord. We also said it's because of the phraseology that John uses and Paul uses in 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. They both talk about the voice of an archangel. They talk about a trumpet. They talk about a shout. So that phraseology is there. And then we talked about the restrainer will be taken away. Out of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the restrainer is the Holy Spirit. You find in Revelation 4 and verse 2, John says, I was now in the Spirit, capital S, in the Spirit. I was in heaven. So now the restrainer, who is the Holy Spirit, is in heaven with the church. And also we said, because Jesus promised that the church will not have to go through the wrath to come. So that's chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4. Does everybody have that? Okay, chapter 5 is simply a scene in heaven where there's a scroll with seven seals. And nobody's found worthy to open this scroll with those seven seals until Jesus comes, takes the scroll out of the hand of the angel and begins to open it. That is the title deed of the earth. Even though Jesus on the cross gave us back everything we needed on this earth, we'll talk about that in this spiritual warfare series. But it won't be official until that day, until sin is dealt with, till sin is judged, till Satan and all ungodly mankind has been dealt with. So that's chapter 5, which brings us to chapter 6. The major part of the tribulation, which begins in chapter 6, all the way again through verse 18, deals with judgments. These judgments are called the trumpet judgments, the bowl judgments, and the seal judgments. And so I've divided chapter 6 through 18 in some categories. First of all, we talked about the catastrophes in the book, or in the tribulation period in the book of Revelation. Catastrophes that are going to happen. What are the catastrophes? The trumpet judgment, the bowl judgment, and the seal judgments. When we get done with this, it'll take us a few weeks. We'll go on to the second part of the tribulation period, and that's the characters in the tribulation. Because there's different characters that pop up that we need to know about. Okay? And then thirdly, we're going to talk about the collapses in the tribulation period. Because we're going to find as we get closer to chapter 17 and 18 that world religion is going to collapse. You see, Satan, the Antichrist, is going to have one world church, one world religion. That's going to collapse. Religious Babylon, it's called. Then economic Babylon is going to fall. Well, all the wealth of the world is going to be gone in one day. So that's the three major points that we're going to talk about in this section called the tribulation. So we've gone now from the rapture. The church has been raptured. We're in heaven with the Lord, which begins this tribulation period. Do you remember the first 3.5 years is called the tribulation? The second 3.5 years is called the great tribulation period. So let's look at it, if you will, as we continue to think about this tribulation period, this catastrophes that are going to happen. And we begin with the seal judgments. Look, if you will, Revelation chapter 6. Look, if you will, in verse 2. And I looked and behold a white horse. So now Jesus is opening up the seals. Verse 2, and I looked and behold a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. We said last week, we began talking about this. Let me review just quickly. When you think of the white horse, when you think about who's on this white horse, many people think this describes Jesus. Because in Revelation 19, he's coming back in the second coming, where he comes all the way to earth, we're with him on a white horse. But notice on the person on this white horse has a bow, okay, or a white horse and a crown. So you would think it would be Jesus. He has what? He has a bow and a crown. So you would think that would be Jesus, but I don't believe it is. I believe it's the Antichrist. Because notice, he has a bow, but he has no arrows, which speaks of peace and not war. This is not Jesus Christ, but this is the Antichrist. He comes on a white horse. He has a bow, but no arrows, and he has a crown. People are going to look up to him. This is what this is. This is the Antichrist who comes on the scene. Now stop and think about it. After the church is raptured, somebody's going to have to come along and explain where all these people went. And I believe that the Antichrist will come up with some sort of answer for that. And he'll also come up probably with something like this. Good riddance. It's good to be done with the church and these people called Christians. But then what's going to happen? He has a white horse and he has a bow and a crown. What he's going to do is establish peace on earth. Now, he's going to establish prosperity on the earth. He's going to have the answer to all mankind's problems. He's going to solve all the world's problems. Now remember, this first seal represents the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. And the first 3.5 years, even though the church is gone and all these people are gone, something's going to happen on this earth. There's going to be a man come along. He's going to have all the answers to all the questions. He's going to be able to solve all the problems, political, economical, racial, whatever it might be, he's going to have the ability to solve all the problems. There's going to be economic renewal. There's going to be prosperity. There's going to be everything that you'll ever want in these first 3.5 years of the tribulation. Then we said he's even going to rebuild the temple. He's going to befriend the Jews. The Jews are going to love the Antichrist because he's going to rebuild the temple. Now remember, we said there's 3 temples in the Bible. First of all, there was Solomon's temple. Then there was Zerubbabel's temple. And then when Zerubbabel started it, Ezra and Nehemiah came along and finished it. And then there was Herod's temple. That's the Herod that Jesus would have known in his day. That temple was destroyed in AD 70. During this time, the Antichrist is going to come and he's going to start rebuild what we call the third temple again. And what's going to happen, and we'll get to it as we go through this tribulation period, is the abomination of desolation, where after the temple is built, the Antichrist is going to walk in there and demand worship from the Jews. In fact, he'll go further than that. He'll demand worship from all mankind. So the first seal takes up 3.5 years. It's the seal, I believe, of the Antichrist who has a bow but no arrows, which talks about peace and not war. He has a crown. People are going to look to him. They're going to look up to him. He's going to deceive the world. He's going to gain the whole world's trust. And he's going to especially gain Israel's trust, the Jews' trust. All right, now let's go tonight to the second seal. The second seal, get this, starts the last half of the tribulation period. The second seal starts the great tribulation period, the last 3.5 years. It starts at this second seal. Revelation 6, verse 3. When it opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, come and see. Verse 4. And a horse, fiery red, went out. And it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth. Now notice the phraseology there. What's on earth? There's peace. But when this second seal is opened, the second part of the tribulation, known as the great tribulation, peace is going to be taken away. Take peace from the earth, and then guess what's going to happen? And that people should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword. This starts, again, the great tribulation period. Sometimes it's known as Jacob's trouble. Sometimes it's known as the abomination of desolation. Now, the red horse, what would you think that would symbolize? It would symbolize bloodshed. There's going to be bloodshed and worldwide wars that will happen. Now, I don't want to put too much in between the lines, but in my mind, this is how it works. These first 3.5 years, everything is great. Okay? Everyone's going to look up throughout the whole world to this Antichrist, to this man who has the answer to everything. Everything's going to be going well. The economy's going to prosper. People are going to have jobs. People are going to have money. Everybody's going to be doing well. But when this second seal is broken, peace is taken from the earth. All the peace, all the prosperity, all the things he promised is now going to be taken away from the earth, and it's going to be replaced by what? War. There's going to be bloodshed. And you say, well, Brother Ron, what's going to cause the bloodshed? Let me give you an example. Our president is President Biden. Is that correct? Okay. Let's suppose, now this is going to be a stretch, but let's suppose that under Biden's administration, that the economy's doing well. I told you it was a stretch, okay? The economy's doing well. People have jobs. The stock market's doing well. People have money. The whole world is at peace. Okay? He's influential in making treaties to have peace around the whole world. Suppose he does all this during his term of office. But then he does this. He comes on TV one night and he says, look around you. Look at the economy. Look at the jobs. Look at the stock market. Look at the peace we have across the whole world. Because of all that, as he looks in the camera, he'll say this, I want you to bow down and worship me. Now, what are people going to do? What would we do? We're not going to bow down and worship Biden or any other president, are we? Thus, think about it. When the world will not bow down to the Antichrist, not then, bloodshed's going to start coming. Wars are going to start coming. Because, listen to me, the Antichrist is there for one reason. What would be that reason? That all mankind will fall down and worship him. What has Satan wanted from the very beginning? The same thing God has. He wants the world to fall down and worship him. And when most people back up from that, like we would back up from Biden saying that to us, then the blood's going to start spilling across the entire world. Because the second rider gets a great sword. And the Antichrist is going to start going throughout the world. And people are going to die. That is the second seal as it starts this great tribulation period. Everything in the first 3.5 years will be forgotten almost immediately. The Antichrist will come on the scene with the false prophet, which we'll talk about later on and during these series of messages. And when they do not get the worship that they want, bloodshed is going to be the result across the whole world. You got that? Third seal is a black horse. So we've gone from a white horse to a red horse, and now we're going to a black horse. Revelation 6, look at verse 5. When he had opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, come and see. So I looked and behold a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, now watch, a quart of wheat for a denarius. A denarius is a day's wage in biblical times. And 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine. Now, what happens after war? Famine. What's happening right now to Ukraine? Russia has invaded. Russia is bombing. What's in short supply more than anything else? It's food. Once you start having wars, and these wars are global, they happen all over the globe. The first thing that happens after that is that there becomes a food shortage. A basis or a shortage of basic necessities, especially a lack of food, will dominate during this third seal. Basic necessities that we all take for granted, mainly food, will begin to become scarce. Now watch this. Under the third seal, desperation is going to set in. Inflation is going to jump sharply. So get the picture. Inflation's out the roof. Desperation sets in. Basic necessities are gone because of the war, because of the bloodshed. And food is in short supply. Now, those two verses I just read talked about a pair of scales. What does that mean, Brother Ron? That things will be rationed during this third seal. Food will be rationed. Now notice what it said. A quart of barley will sell for a denarius, or one day's wage. Now think about that. A quart of barley is enough food for one man. The man's got to go do what? He's got to work. But what about his wife? What about his children? He's going to have to work all day long just to get enough food to feed himself, let alone his wife, let alone his children, and those in his household. The text also says, watch this, 3 quarts of barley for a denarius. So we have a quart of barley and then 3 quarts of barley. I want to go back. A quart of wheat. Okay, go back. Forget what I just said. I have it wrong in my notes. Okay? A quart of wheat for a denarius. That is enough food for one man, let alone his family. Okay? Now let's go to 3 quarts of barley would be for a day's wage. So you have a quart of wheat, which the man would need to keep his strength up to be able to work. But he's got to stretch that, not only between himself, but his wife and his children. Okay? But then you have what? You have 3 quarts of barley for a denarius. Now, do you know what barley was used for? To feed animals. There's not enough money for the wheat. And there's not enough wheat going around because it's rationed. So now you have to come down the food chain. So now you got 3 quarts of barley, something that is fed to the livestock. It takes a whole day to be able to get that, to be able to buy that. Now, who will not be affected by this? This is, I want you to see this. The rich and the wealthy. Because did you notice at the end of verse 6, and do not harm the oil and the wine? The oil and the wine is what? It's luxury items. Only the rich can afford them. Now I want you to get a picture of what's going on here. Under this third seal, the middle class is going to be wiped out. Isn't the middle class getting pinched more every year? During this third seal, there'll be no middle class. There'll be the rich and who? The poor. There'll be no middle class. So you got what? You have a quart of wheat, 3 quarts of barley. That's the best that people can do. They're poor. They can't buy anything. But the rich on earth, and we'll see more about the rich as we go through the tribulation, they won't be affected by this. They will still be able to have what they need to have. But the middle class will be wiped out. That's the third seal. Do you get that? The fourth seal. Let's see if we can get one more seal in. So we've gone from a white horse to a red horse to a black horse. Now the fourth seal, we have a pale horse. Look, if you will, in verse 7 of Revelation 6. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, come and see. So I looked and behold, a pale horse. And the name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades followed with him. And power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with the sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beast of the earth. Now, a pale horse literally means a green horse. And it speaks of a sickly green. What would that be reminiscent of? Decay, rottenness, and even gangrene. Power and authority will be given to the Antichrist to bring death on the earth like it's never seen before. The phrase death and Hades are just simply a thing talking on two different levels. Death would be for the body. Hades would be for hell, for the soul. Now watch this. Under the fourth seal, it's almost mind-boggling. A fourth of the world's population will die through the sword, through famine, and through pestilence and wild beast. Now stop and think about that. Under this fourth seal, a quarter of the world is gone. They're going to die out. How are they going to die out? Through sword, through war, through famine, not enough food, through pestilence, and through the beast of the earth, or wild beast. Do you see what's happening here? So, what's going on here? They say we have about 7.5 billion people on the planet. That means, I don't know what we'll have during this time, but let's take that number, that 1.875 million people will die. Now compare that to COVID. It's almost amazing. You say, okay, Brother Ron, I understand sword wars. I understand famine. I understand pestilence. But what about these beasts of the earth? What about these wild beasts? Now let's stop and think about it. You got 1.875 million people die very quickly, basically at one time. Here's where the wild beasts come in. You're not going to be able to bury people quick enough that the wild beasts won't come, especially in third world countries. They're going to come and eat those bodies. That's what's going to happen. Because you can't bury people quick enough. With that amount of people dying, laying dead in the streets, laying dead in the fields, there's not enough people. There's not enough time to get them buried in a timely fashion. They're going to lay in the streets. They're going to lay in the fields. They're going to lay everywhere. And it's going to cause the wild beast to come out. Can you even grasp that? Now, let me tell you this, and we'll stop in just a minute. Some commentators believe the wild beast also could be rats. They are found in all parts of the populated world. They can carry up to 35 diseases. And a female rat can come into heat every 4 to 5 days throughout the year. They give birth to a litter of 12 rats at a time. And then she can come back in heat and just a few days later. Can you imagine? This is what's going to happen under this fourth seal. So get the picture. We're in the tribulation period. The first 3.5 years are glorious. Everything's good. But then, under the second seal, under the red horse, war is going to break out across the world, because the world, for the most part, won't fall down and worship the Antichrist then. Bloodshed everywhere. Under the third seal is the black horse. After war comes what? Famine. Everything's going to turn around. Inflation's going to spike. Desperation will set in. Man won't be able to feed his family. And what he can grab for his family is what animals eat. The middle class is wiped out. And basically all you have left is the rich. Another fourth seal is this continues during this last 3.5 years. People will die. At the first time will be a quarter of the world's population. They will die. They will die through the sword, through famine, through pestilence, and through wild beasts, maybe even rats. This is what's going to happen during this period. Okay? Let's go to the fifth seal. We got 5 minutes, okay? I wanted to get through all seven, but that's not going to happen. So let's see what we can do here. The fifth seal. Look at Revelation 6, verse 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw on the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer, until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were completed. Now the fifth seal is unique, because instead of breaking the seal and we see an action take place, when this seal is broken, we see something different. We see the result of the action and not the action itself. When Jesus breaks this seal, here's what we find. We find martyrs. Now, we're told in these verses they were slain because why? The word of God. The details of who they are and really how they died is not given to us. But it says they were slain because of the word of God and because of their testimony. We don't know who these are. We don't know how they got martyred. But the Bible does tell us it was because of their stand on the word of God, and it was because of their testimony. Now, stop and think about something. These martyrs are people that are clearly saved. Is that right? They know the Lord, thus they're martyrs. They love the word of God. They love to testify of the Lord. Now the question is, when did they get saved? They couldn't have got saved prior to the tribulation, because the saints, all of us, are already in heaven. Because of why? The rapture of the church, which took place before this tribulation period begins and before you go through it. So these people got saved and lived on the earth during the tribulation period. Again, we don't know who they are. We don't know how they got martyred. All we know is they loved God and they loved their testimony to talk about Jesus and what he did for them. So the question is then, how did they get saved? Because there's no Christian witness left on the earth. The church is gone, right? The Holy Spirit is gone. So who's left to tell them about Jesus? Let me give you a preview of what we're going to talk about in a few messages. What's going to be left on the earth, the Christian witness, is basically going to come from two different areas. First of all, the 144,000. You'll see that in chapter 7. The 144,000, how do we get 144,000? Does anybody know? 12,000 from each what? Each tribe of Israel. So there's going to be 144,000 men, maybe women, who get saved. Okay? They're going to get saved. God's going to allow that to happen. Maybe the Holy Spirit comes back on these. But anyway, they're going to be saved during the tribulation. They're going to be the witnesses to the whole world. Now think about this. They're going to be so on fire for God, it'd be like 144,000 Billy Grahams that are going to go throughout the whole world and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's how these, under this seal, got saved. But also, who's left to tell people about Jesus? Who's going to be there? The 144,000, but also, and we'll get to this later on, the two witnesses. Has anybody heard of those before? There's going to be two witnesses that are going to come back. And they're going to be able to share with the whole world about Jesus. Now, don't worry about them. We'll get to them here in a few messages later. So you're going to have the 144,000 and two witnesses. 144,000 in chapter 7, the two witnesses in chapter 11 are going to go throughout the whole world and tell people about Jesus. Now, notice what these martyrs, now we're back to the fifth seal, notice what they say. How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? That's what they're asking the Lord. Now, as I looked at that, that seems out of place to me. Okay, you got martyrs that deeply love the Lord Jesus Christ. They love His Word. They love to testify of Jesus. And the thing that they ask the Lord as this fifth seal is broken is, when are you going to avenge our blood? Now, to me, that's out of place. It's out of place of what, Brother Ron? Well, Stephen, for example, who was the first Christian martyr. What did he say? When they were stoning him, pelting him with stones, what did he tell? Or what did he say? Basically, forgive him, Lord. What did Jesus say on the cross? Forgive them, for they know not what they do. But that's not what they say. You would have thought martyrs that love the Lord would say something like that, but they don't. I believe they're saying this. How long will it be, Lord, before you destroy Satan and the Antichrist? How long will it be before you defeat sin once and for all and judge the wicked? They're crying out to the Lord to intervene because they can't stand to see sin winning. That's what they're doing. It breaks their heart because, remember, they're in the tribulation period. They've seen all these horses and they've seen all these seals, and it's broke their heart, and they realize why it all came. It all came because of sin. So what they're asking the Lord is simply this. How long will it be before you destroy sin and Satan and the Antichrist? How long will it be before you defeat sin once and for all and judge the wicked? They can't come to terms and grasp. They can't comprehend that sin seems to be winning. But notice what else the fifth seal says. They were given white robes. Revelation 3 and verse 5 says, he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments. It symbolizes God's complete gift of eternal righteousness, grace, and glory that covers our life as believers. Okay, let's stop right there. We're just a couple minutes over. Now, I know I've given you a lot tonight. I will go back over it again next Wednesday night. This is what's going to happen during the tribulation period. After the first 3.5 years, there's going to be trouble on every side. Aren't you glad for Jesus, folks? Aren't you glad for the rapture of the church? Aren't you glad that we will be with the Lord at the marriage supper of the Lamb all those 7 years? Now listen, I'm going to close with this. If you're going to tell somebody about Jesus, you better get busy. Okay? You better get busy. Because once the rapture happens, this stuff is going to be like a domino effect. Okay? It's going to be like a domino effect. Quickly, let me say this. I've been asked this. Let's suppose the rapture takes place. Those who are left, okay? You would think they would fall down right then and ask Jesus into their heart, right? That's not going to happen. We'll get into this, but in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, you've got the Antichrist and the false prophet. The Bible says that the false prophet is going to be able to do signs, wonders, and miracles. The whole world's going to look to him, the false prophet, like he's got all the answers. He's God. He's going to do what? Deceive the whole world through signs, wonders, and miracles. And the Bible says, listen to this, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that God is going to send them a strong delusion. They're going to believe the false prophet. They're going to believe the Antichrist. Why not? They're seeing miracles happen everywhere. So here's what I personally believe. If someone that we know is left behind, okay, they don't go in the rapture. We say, Brother Ron, maybe they'll get saved during the tribulation period. They might, but I doubt it. I doubt it. And they would have sealed their doom because eventually they'll have to take what? That seal to be able to live. Once you take that, it's over. Okay? So we'll talk more about that as we get into it a little bit further.